Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 63. Paycheck, please.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I am Jenny Hendricks with my co-host.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we have an in-person, in-house guest today. This is so exciting. I've got Dan Jessen with us today. He is the Iron County Auditor. And we invited him on today because he is the resident expert on the CARES Act, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is the federal response to the COVID-19 stuff. So part of the CARES Act has been the PPP, the payroll protection. That was federal money that was kind of given out to small businesses for to help with payroll. Then there was the EIDL, the E-I-D-L. That was money that came from the state also to small businesses. And then kind of the third leg on that stool was money, federal money given to local municipalities and counties as a part of the CARES Act. So we really wanted Dan to come on today and explain how the whole thing works, how all the money is flowing through, how much money are we talking about, and just get everybody kind of up to speed on what is happening with the CARES Act money that has been kind of infused into our community here. So Dan, you know everything about the CARES Act and about what is happening. So let's just dive in and start with like how much money came into this area and kind of talk us through how it's being distributed and what it's being used for.
So the money that was given to local governments, really the purpose of this, of the CARES money that was given was for local governments to react to the pandemic and spend money on really pandemic specific related stuff, whether that was to get PPE or personal protection equipment, whether it was to enhance testing capabilities, to encourage social distancing, to, you know, they gave the money really open-ended, yet also with some pretty heavy strings attached. It couldn't be something that we normally had scheduled in our budget. We couldn't use it to replace revenue that has dropped. It had to be things specifically related to the pandemic. So we're basically ignoring what's happening to the city and the county in terms of how the pandemic has impacted our budgets. We're ignoring that piece. And what we're simply doing is saying, okay, we can spend this money towards doing stuff and buying things that are related to the pandemic. So a couple of things that the county has spent money on is we actually bought some big tents, which should be showing up hopefully soon, which we're going to put them out there where the yellow tents are, where they're testing down by the movie theaters. So we're going to have some large tents there that are going to be fully climate controlled. As this thing drags on into the winter, of course, we'll go from air conditioning to heat needs. You know, as this thing flows into from a testing phase to a vaccination phase, we'll have these big, nice tents. We've bought some signing boards, electronic boards, so that we can direct traffic. We bought some hand washing stations, which we can take to special events. The good thing about these is we've tried to, it isn't local money, but it's all citizens' money, right? When the government just writes checks, it has to be paid back at some point. So we've tried to be thoughtful with this money and buy things that not only can we use for pandemic purposes, but will also be something we can use in the future for other things. And so, you know, these tents we'll be able to repurpose after the pandemic is done and so forth. Anyways, we spent money on things like that. But we weren't able to spend all the money on those things. And so that's why as we got looking at the fine print and some of the guidance from the U.S. Department of Treasury, we noticed that we could do an impact grant for small businesses, which is really where this idea came from to create the Iron County CARES Impact Grant.
Let me jump in here real quick. How much money are we talking? Like, how much money came into the city? How much money came into the county? How much is being spent on tents and signs and, you know, specific pandemic type things? And it kind of break that down. Is how big is the pot here?
Well, so the pot was determined, the pot, if you will, was determined by a formula which really had to do with population. First of all, it started with $2 trillion was the CARES Act. Of that $2 trillion, there was, I think, $150 billion that was dedicated to this local government program. Of that $150 billion, $1.5 billion went to the state of Utah. The state of Utah then decided to distribute a good portion of that $1.5 billion, I don't know the exact total number, to the cities and the counties, and they did it based on population. So the formula yielded 5.5 million, just a little over, for Iron County. Cedar City got like 3.1 million, and it steps down from there. Enoch got 500,000 or 600,000. Parowan got 250,000, something like that. Paragona got money. Bryan Head got money. Even, you know, some of the smaller, even the smaller ones, of course, you had to agree to use the money in certain ways or that, or they didn't get it. So some of the very smallest cities like Canaryville and New Harmony never actually even got their money. So that's really the size of it. As far as the size of this Iron County CARES Impact Grant, if we do get all the money, the total grant should be around $6.5 million. The reason I qualify it that way is because the state didn't just give us all the money. They divided it up into three tranches. And they said, we're going to keep an eye on this, watch the pandemic for hotspots and see. So they said, this is how much we're probably going to give you. And by the way, you have to have it spent by November 30th. But, you know, we're not going to give it to you all at once. We're going to kind of hold it back. So we just actually got our second tranche, and they'll give us the third tranche. So it's been quite difficult to make plans and have the money spent when you don't even have the money yet. You're not even sure you're going to get it. So we designed this grant program in a way that we could issue grants as the money came in. And we don't want to get out ahead of that, because if they turn off the spigot and we've already awarded grants, right, then we got a problem.
So what is the mechanism for distributing this money? Does somebody just call Dan Jessen at the county and say, hey, my business could sure use $20,000. Can you hook me up? How does that work?
Okay, so we actually created a special website for the grant. First of all, just so there's no confusion, we took the county money, and we reached out to the cities, and we said, rather than moving in different directions, let's all work together. Mm-hmm. So we have an interlocal agreement with Iron County, Cedar City, Enoch City, Parowan, and Paragona.
Perfect.
And we're combining our assets and resources in one grant program that the county is managing.
I think that's brilliant.
If you're a business that's in Cedar City and you're awarded a grant, that money will most likely come from Cedar City's money, although the county will administer it. So we're doing all that work on the back end. That's probably not important, but I just want people to know that the municipalities are participating, and they really stepped up. City councils have stepped up. They prioritized this above other things that they could have done. I know the county left about $1 million on the table that we could have put for other uses that instead we put towards this grant program. But anyways, to answer your question, you go to the county's main website, which is ironcounty.net. On the main website, there is a banner just with buttons that are links, and there's a link that says CARES Impact Grant. If you click on that, the first two-thirds of the page is information, who qualifies, who doesn't, frequently asked questions. There's a downloadable form, or you can go right into the application and start entering your data. And you just fill out everything online, upload your documents, and hit submit. That's really the primary way that we ask people to apply. But if they don't feel technically comfortable with scanning documents, and uploading them to the website. They can print off a paper form and fill it out and bring it into my office or mail it in or whatnot.
So can you just kind of take us through what are some of the qualifications? What would be some exclusions? Who would be a good candidate? Maybe who would be a poor candidate to receive this grant money?
So this grant money has some pretty strong strings attached that are not set by us. They're actually set by the government. There's different uses of these monies, but specifically with this local government money, it has to be used for a business that has recognized a financial loss from the pandemic, specifically related to the closure that happened by the governor's order. So the governor says you have to close if you're certain businesses. You know, a lot of the medical community, dentists, and other of these ancillary medical offices had to be closed except for emergency stuff, right? So that was a forced closure by the governor's order. Also, you could have voluntarily closed your business, or if your business was still open and never closed, but you saw a significant decrease in demand, you also qualify. So you have to indicate on the application which one of those applies to you. But even more than that, we actually have to document the loss. And the way we do that is by formula. We basically need, and a business had to have been in business in 2019 through the same periods, I need financial records, specifically revenue is what we're looking at. Gross revenue, right? That's before you have any expenses or anything. This is total deposits into a business. I need to compare 2019's revenue, 2019 being a base year, a normal year, if you will, and I need to then compare 2020's revenue so that we can say in March, April, May, and June of 2019, this is what my business normally looks like for its revenues, and then we can compare 2020. And if 2020's revenues are lower, then we can document the loss, and then we can get in and do a grant there, which is, again, it's a big formula to figure out how much money is available or whatnot. But that is the underlying principle, that 2020 was a worse year than 2019. Some businesses, frankly, you know, just like the virus, ironically, symbolically, the virus is kind of, it has winners and losers. It picks some people that it's fine, other people it doesn't really affect them. Same thing with these businesses. Some businesses have been doing great. Some businesses have been doing better. Some businesses have just been crippled by this. So if your business has been doing okay, and when I mean okay, I mean literally mathematically it has not been affected, you won't qualify. If your business has been impacted, you qualify. Now, I want to say something, Jenny, if it's okay. There's been a lot of businesses, and I think it goes to our kind of our culture, our heritage. People say, yeah, there's other businesses that have been impacted worse, and they're not applying for the grant. And while that's totally admirable, this grant program, in order to be successful, we need to do grants for all of those that were impacted. We designed the amounts based on how many we estimated had been impacted. So if people are not applying and they're doing it out of a sense of there's others that have been impacted worse, then there will be money left over at the end of the program, which is fine. The problem is it's not like it's not going to come off the federal debt. This money, if we don't use it locally, we'll go back up to the state and it will be used on the Wasatch Front or something like that. So we really want to put this money into the local economy.
Let me just follow up on that, because I have talked to a number of business owners with employees who were impacted by COVID, the shutdowns and so forth. And so if we're just talking about the payroll protection portion of this, I talked to a number of people who said, exactly what Dan was just saying. There were people who were worse off than I am. I'll figure it out. I'll make it through. The money has already been spent. It's already been allocated. So not taking the money is not going to change the national debt, which I think a lot of people in this area are legitimately uncomfortable with. And that's sort of a conversation we can have you back on, talk about inflation at some point in time. But specifically talking about the CARES Act federal money that has been distributed in all of these different ways, I'm going to try and get, you know, this podcast out to as many people as we can, because what Dan said is 100% true. That money is already spent. It's already allocated. So if our local people here aren't taking advantage of it when they have the opportunity to do so, it's just sort of wasting that allocation that has come into this community. So the website again was ironcounty.net, and there's a big banner right at the top. All you have to do is click on that and it'll take you through it. Or I'm sure that if somebody has questions, they can call your office and somebody will be able to talk them through it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they can call me. I have something else I'd really like to say, because I've seen a lot of businesses that they're dealing with a little bit of grant burnout. Mm-hmm. Either they've had a bad experience with the PPP loan or an idle, or they just went through this onerous process to do it. And they're like, I don't want to go through that again at the local level. We've designed the program to be fairly simple. It isn't as onerous as those other programs. And there is a misconception that if you have gotten that money, you can't get any of this grant money. That is based in a sliver of truth in that, let's say your business was impacted. The total impact that we calculate was $50,000, and you did get some idle loan or a PPP loan or grant for $25,000. We can't make you better off than whole, but we can fill that additional gap.
Okay.
So if you have gone through that other process and yeah, it about killed you off, still apply for this. This is really a lot simpler. And it is worth doing for sure.
Because I think on the others, if and correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here, but on the PPP, that was administered through local banks through the Small Business Administration. So there was a bit of paperwork on that. Mm-hmm. The EIDL, I gave up halfway through that application. I did. I'm not going to take the time to give you, you know, all of this information. And so I totally get what you're saying. There's so much time invested in going through these applications and then tracking it, you know, with the PPP, did I spend it appropriately on payroll right. And all of that kind of stuff. But I want to make the point that the Iron County CARES Impact Grant is locally administered.
Yep.
Correct? So this is local paperwork.
It's me. Literally, I will call you on the phone and say, you sent me April's bank statement twice, just, you know, and then you'll say, okay, great. And I'll say, this is my cell phone. Call me. I'll talk to you at night. It's literally me. And we have a local committee that meets that makes the decisions. So luckily I'm not making the grant decisions, but I have done a lot of work with small micro businesses that are not sophisticated when it comes to their finances. And I don't have to have really fancy reports. Those are nice, but I'll literally take just your bank statements and I'll work with you. So yeah.
That's a thing of beauty
right
there.
Don't not do it because you think it's a pain.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really important point to make is that it, you know, anytime you're dealing with federal money and federal grants and all that, it really is sort of a process just because it is. But I love that this is just Dan Jessen, county auditor.
That's right.
And his little committee handing out money. And so it is just going to be a very local, far simpler process. That's great. I'm really glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. What else do people need to know?
We've been giving out some fairly sizable grants. It is done based on a formula. We can't give you more than your loss. We can't give you more than your loss minus any other relief you've already been given. And our goal is not to fill the entire loss. The amount is actually calculated by, you know, the relative size of your business. But we've been giving some pretty good, in some cases, we have been literally filling the entire hole that we calculated was a loss. In other cases, I mean, I'm shocked and humbled. We have some businesses that are literally lost millions of dollars, hard money. And these are vital businesses for Iron County. Our grant maxes out at $50,000. So for even some of these really large businesses that employ a lot of people that have kept them on the payroll, you know, we're maxing out that grant amount. But we have small businesses. I mean, childcare, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we just met this last week and we had two that were a single person daycare. One of them, just as an example, had a loss of, it was like $6,700, and we gave her a grant for $4,000. I know that $4,000, I mean, that's like real money. Yeah. for a mom, wife, single mom, whoever it is that runs this childcare. I know that she was, it was a woman, $4,000.
That's a deal breaker. That's make or break for some people.
And she had lost 67. Her childcare is somewhat back up and running. And so that's going to help pay the bills. That's going to help keep that business as a going concern. Other businesses that have, you know, again, I'm humbled by the impact that's happened here. And really the goal of this is to keep businesses alive and keep them from going under, so that when this thing is a memory in our hopefully distant past, yeah, we didn't lose a bunch of businesses and make the problem worse.
So this is a grant too. So once that decision has been made to hand out that check to whatever business, it's the county or the city, the municipality, that is on the hook for tracking that, you know, for making sure it's used appropriately. So it's not, you know, like the PPP, you have to kind of have someone help, you know, I had to have someone help me track it to make sure that it was only spent on payroll and you know, all of this documentation. But with the Iron County CARES Impact Grant, it sounds like that is not the case. Right. But once that money is distributed, the recipient is done.
We do our work on the front end to make sure we have our documentation good. The grantee has to agree, basically, that they've given us correct information. They haven't fraudulently manipulated the process. They've answered the questions truthfully. They have to agree. We don't actually care how you spend the money, which is kind of interesting. We don't like make you have to go out and buy, you know, COVID, you know, face masks. We don't care how you spend the money. You can go to whatever. The goal is that it helps your business continue and the money goes into the local economy. But there is, with a caveat, there are a few restrictions. You can't pay your property tax with it. Mm. You can't pay your city bills with it or county bills. The reason is in no way can this money go back into our revenue as the county, because we can't use this as a revenue program for us. Again, we can't use this for our normal budgeting, not even to replace revenue. So if it came back in as property tax or as to pay your water bill to the city or something, then by definition, we would be defeating that. So you just agree, yes, I'm not going to pay this money back to the county or back to the cities. And so there's a couple of things you have to agree to do, and that's it. If we get audited, they may pull a specific file and just make sure that we have our information together. If there was fraud, I did just read an article that somebody got a PPP loan. It was based on a totally just made up business. It was a couple hundred thousand bucks and that person will go to jail. But once you go through the process, you're good to go. It is a grant and you can spend the money however you want.
Okay. That is fantastic. So what we need to do, people, we need to get this information out to anybody that you know who's got one of these small businesses. And from what Dan was saying, I'm hearing like restaurants, medical people, childcare, anybody who you know, and I know everybody knows somebody who was affected by the shutdown that was so economically devastating. So we're going to do our best to get this out there, but please continue to talk to the people in your sphere and let them know, because this does have an end date. You said our second tranche was coming up.
The program ends October 31st. Okay. That's really the important number for them to hear. Unless the Democrats and Republicans in Washington come to an agreement on a second distribution, one of the things they may do is extend the time on the first, on the CARES Act. If that's the case, we will absolutely look at extending this. There's some businesses that are yet to be impacted, but they already know they're going to be impacted. It's just, it's coming. So I'm hoping they extend it. If they don't, it's October 31st. I have a lot of businesses that are like, I just can't show it on paper yet. And that's what we have to see.
Okay.
And so I told them wait till October and then do it. But if you have your loss, it's already calculated. Don't wait, because it's theoretically possible the money will run out and then you can't get it. But
okay. Well, that is such great information, Dan. And if anybody has any other questions, go to the Iron County, ironcounty.net, go to the Iron County website, check out the frequently asked questions, start your application. And then if you get stuck, I know Dan will answer his phone. He always does. So Dan, thank you so much.
I'll probably return a voicemail. I've been swamped.
Is it better to text or call?
Text is best.
Okay.
Or email. My email is on there as well. In fact, I'll give you my email. It's D, as in my first initial, Jessen, Jessen, at ironcounty.net. Email is really the best way to get a hold of me, and I will call you back.
Okay, there, you heard it here. Jessen at ironcounty.net. He is the guy who knows everything about the Iron County CARES Impact Grant. Dan, thanks so much for coming out to Color Country Politics today. This has been fabulous information, and we'll do what we can to get it distributed to as many local businesses as we can, because that is something that is really going to help some people. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Jesse.
Sure, no problem.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Remember to share this to all your peeps. I'm Jenny Hendricks, and you have been with Color Country Politics with my co-host over here, Jesse. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.